All right, turn in your Bibles tonight, please, to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. You got your Bible with you tonight? All right, we're going to look at some things tonight. I'm going to show you something tonight. This is what we're going to look at tonight is an answer to at least one of the questions that that you have, a lot of you probably have, about what I've been preaching on. We've been looking at these Old Testament prophets, and we have been noticing a theme run through all of the different prophets, not just Daniel through Malachi, but also going back and looking at the Psalms. We saw David mentioned the nations in the Psalms. We've looked at the second coming of Christ, and the battle of Armageddon, and the nations that are named by name, called by name in the Bible. And it is consistent, whether you're in the Psalms or whether you're in Daniel through Malachi, it is consistent. And we have looked at that Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday night after Wednesday night for the last 2 months. Now, tonight, I'm going to read to you just three verses here out of Zechariah, and then I'm going to have you turn to a few other verses. And I'm going to hopefully answer a question for you, show you from the Bible the answer to that question. All right, so I hope you have your Bible and are ready to learn something tonight. Let's begin in verse 1, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. Why are you turning? Did I tell you the wrong book? Huh? Why are you all turning? 12. I'm sorry. Did I do that? Well, I'm sorry about that. See, you got to help me here now. If I do something stupid, tell me about it. All right. Chapter 12. All right. Everybody there? All right. Let's try it again. The burden. Am I reading what you're seeing? All right. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord. Which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him. Those are pretty good credentials, don't you think? Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto, what's the next word? All the people round about. All the people round about. Now, is this allegorically speaking of Rome? No, this is Jerusalem. Is it a simile for London? No. How about Brussels? Nope. Copenhagen? Nope. I believe he's talking about Jerusalem, don't you? All right. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. All right, I want to speak tonight on this subject. Let's keep it in the context. Let's keep it in the context. What's the context here? Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, and the surrounding nations round about. You with me on that?
Yes.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, thank you for a great day that you blessed our bus ministry with. And Lord, this morning in both services, you blessed tremendously. We thank you for what you did here. And now, Lord, we've gathered and our Bibles are open, and we want to hear from heaven tonight. And Lord, I pray that you will meet with us and instruct our hearts. And Lord, help us to realize this wonderful day that is coming. It'll be a terrible day for a lot of people. But Lord, it'll be a wonderful day for the people of God. And I pray that you will bless us tonight as we study this wonderful day, as we look at verses, as we think about statements that are made in the Bible. And Lord, the simplicity of these statements is something that we have to strain to miss. So Lord, help us just to receive the word with gladness. And Lord, may we leave here tonight rejoicing at the might and the power and the wonderful plan that is revealed to us in this book. Father, bless us richly now tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one of the things that we have learned in the last 2 months as we have been studying the second coming of Christ is that the Bible is very specific about the nations and the peoples who are going to be on the business end of the Lord's wrath when he returns to the earth at his second coming. We have learned for 2 months now that prophet after prophet list the names of the people, the countries, and we have seen that each one of the countries that are listed and that are named are nations which are neighbors to Israel. We have seen that each one, also we have seen that each one of these nations that are mentioned in the scripture have one thing that binds them together. And that one thing is the fact that they are Islamic nations. Their religion ties them together. Now, one of the things that I've pointed out to you through the years is just how important it is when you read the Bible and study the Bible to keep the scope and the focus where the Bible keeps the scope and the focus. And we have learned that the scope and the focus in the battle that it will take place when our Lord's return is none other than Israel itself and the Middle East. For many years, we have been taught that in the last days, that literally every nation on the earth will be dominated by a European Antichrist. We've learned that. I've heard that preached all my life. I was taught that in school, and I have taught that to you here. We have been taught to believe, and we believe that there will be no place to escape from the dreaded mark of the beast, and that every nation on the planet is going to come against Jerusalem. Now, Zechariah 12:3 is used to justify this thought that every nation on the planet will be standing, will be accounted for at Armageddon. In chapter 14, look over at chapter 14 and verse 2. Well, let's go back and get verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. In 14:2, we have another verse that is used to justify the position that every nation will be in Jerusalem to fight with the Antichrist against the returning Savior, the Lord Jesus. Similarly, in Joel chapter 3 and verse 2, you need not turn to it, I'll just quote it. God says, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And the Apostle John in the New Testament uses perhaps the strongest language of all when he says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7 and 8, "And it was given unto him," speaking of the Antichrist, "and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life." Now, from these verses, it has been proclaimed from the rooftops that every nation of the world will be lined up at Armageddon, lined up with the Antichrist, and will be there to fight against Israel, against the people of God. Now, let me give you a couple of verses. Let me have you look up a few verses, and we'll read them. And I want to give you just a few things to think about this evening. First of all, I want you to look at verse 2 of the 12th chapter of Zechariah. Let me read it for you once again. He said, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about." All the people round about. Now there's the word "all," and there's also the two little words "round about." All right, now, remember what we have learned thus far. Look here. You've got Israel coming down the Mediterranean out here, and you got Turkey to the north, and then you've got all of these nations that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all the rest of them talk about. All of these nations that come all the way down and cross over into Africa, and the northern third of Africa is included in the judgments that God is pronouncing. What is it that ties all of these nations together? It is not their language. There are many languages spoken. What is it that ties them together? It is not their skin color. There's all different kinds of skin color. What is it that ties all these nations together? It is their religion. It is the fact that that they are Islamic in their religion. And every one of them has an Islamic mindset. Every one of these nations. Karen and I had dinner this week with with one of our missionaries, and he was telling us about the persecution, and I cannot tell you where he is, because if they find out he is there, out he goes. But nonetheless, he talks about the persecution and how people are taken in the middle of the night and they're gone. They disappear. And they are taken because they take a stand for the Bible and they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these are in Islamic territories. These are in Islamic nations. Folks, we need to understand that the people surrounding Israel despise Israel. They hate them with a passion, and they want them wiped off the face of the planet. So beginning here in verse 2, God says, "When my son comes back, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about." Now, I want you to hold your place here in Zechariah, and I want you to go over to the book of Daniel, and let me just show you a couple of verses of scripture, and go to Daniel chapter 5, please. And let me show you just a couple of verses of scripture, and let me just see if you can catch on to a biblical way of saying something, a biblical idiom, if you will. An idiom is a figure of speech. It's a way of saying something. All right, so look at Daniel chapter 5, please. And we'll read verse 18. You guys are getting real familiar with your Old Testaments, aren't you? Yeah, you got there quick tonight. God bless you for that. Verse 18. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Now listen very carefully to this. And for the majesty that he gave him, what's the next word? All people, nations, that means all nations, right? Is that what you see? Peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Notice what Daniel said. He said, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. Now, question. Did every single nation on the planet fear Nebuchadnezzar's father? Or do you think that only those nations that had heard about Nebuchadnezzar's father feared him? I mean, do you think, for example, was Daniel speaking of every nation on the planet, or do you think that he was speaking only of those nations that were in a close enough proximity to Babylon to be concerned? In other words, do you think that the Japanese were fearful of Nebuchadnezzar? No, they probably didn't even know who Nebuchadnezzar was. Do you think that Indians in North Dakota were fearful of Nebuchadnezzar? Do you think they were afraid that, oh boy, we better put somebody to stay up tonight? Nebuchadnezzar's liable to bring his army over here and wipe us out in the middle of the night. No, of course not. And let me have you turn to 1 Kings. I'm just wanting you to think, all right? I'm just wanting you to think. Look at 1 Kings chapter 4. Look, please. This is about Solomon. And look at verse 34. It says, and there came of what? All people. Now listen, you guys got Daniel just like that, and now you're struggling with 1 Kings. What's the problem? All right. Look at verse 34. Let's do it again. And there came of, what's the next word? All people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Now you'll notice here that the Holy Spirit here qualifies it for us. And when it says that all people came to hear. Now, again, let me ask you, do you think that Solomon's wisdom was so impressive that there was not a single king in all the entire earth who failed to hear of it? Was Solomon visited by the kings in Korea or in Ireland or the Falkland Islands, for example? No, I don't think so. More likely, this verse is simply telling us that Solomon was so renowned that, watch me, that everyone in the region of Israel, everyone in the area had heard of his fame. Everybody knew in the area of his fame. The people round about, if you will, knew of the fame of Solomon. Go over to the next book, to 2 Kings chapter 17. 2 Kings chapter 17. Look at verse 28. It says, then one of the priests, whom they had carried away from Samaria, came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made. Every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. Now, did all of the inhabitants of the earth, every last nation on the planet, have Samaritan gods in their homes? That's not what God is saying. That is not what God is saying. He's not saying that everybody in the planet, every home on the globe had a Samaritan god in its living room. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is the region around, the people in the area, those that were impacted, those that were affected, they are the ones who had the Samaritan gods in their homes. Go to Isaiah 37 real quick. Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37 and verse 18. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. Now, is he talking about every nation on the planet? Of course not. What's he talking about? He's talking about the nations around Assyria. He doesn't mean every nation. I mean, the Eskimos weren't conquered by the Assyrians. All right? The Amerindian down on the Amazon was not conquered by the Assyrians. That's not what he's saying. What we have a tendency to do, I think, sometimes is we take the Bible out of its context. Folks, the Bible, and I've tried to get you to see this with the very first lesson that I did on this, the Bible is not North America-centric, it is Israel-centric. It's not New York City-centric, it's Jerusalem-centric. The context is Jerusalem and Judah. And I could go, take you then to Daniel chapter 8, and there are several other verses. Now go back to Zechariah for just a minute, chapter 12. Who does this passage say specifically is going to attack Jerusalem? Who does God say here? Look at your Bible. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about it, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Who does God say is going to attack and come against Jerusalem? The answer is the surrounding peoples. Today, the surrounding peoples are the nations that encircle Israel, that make the crescent around Israel. You say, Pastor, why do you keep saying make the crescent around Israel? Because that is the symbol, the emblem for Islam. You go past a mosque and there is a crescent on the top of that mosque. And I think it's rather ironic, don't you? And these are the nations and the people that we've been reading about in all of these prophets. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. God is speaking about Israel's neighbors. The judgment is going to be upon Israel's neighbors. You say, but Pastor, I've been taught all my life that every nation in the world is going to be there. Well, I'm going to deal with that in just a moment. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that the Bible tells us that it's the people, the nations surrounding Israel who are going to be there. Who's going to be there? Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, the Stand Boys, Syria, Lebanon, Somalia, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Kush and Put and all the African nations, Somalia and Azerbaijan and all the rest of them, Djibouti, all of these nations that are Islamic nations, and all of them are nations that surround Jerusalem. They're nations round about. Now, there seems to be a pattern. Go back. I know you're turning a lot, but it won't hurt you. Go back to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Look at verse 1. All right, everybody got it? Find Hosea. You know where Hosea is. Just go, Daniel, and just keep going, Hosea. And the next one's little book is Joel. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now, look please at verse 4. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? That's Gaza. That's the Gaza area today. Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Look, please, at verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge the heathen. Next two words, please. Round about. Who are the heathen according to God? The nations round about. You understand that? All right. Now, God, there's a pattern here. I'm not going to take the time to do it tonight, but write down Ezekiel 36, 4 and 5. And you'll notice the same thing in Joel same thing in Ezekiel 36, verse 4 and 5, as what you have here in Joel. Joel starts out in verse 2 talking about all nations. I will gather all nations. Folks, listen. What's God talking about? These are all nations. All these nations. I will gather all nations. You say, Pastor, it says all nations. I know what it says. I also know what the context is. I also know that it's consistent whether you're in the Psalms or whether you're in Daniel through Malachi. And I also know that verse 12 says, I will sit in judgment of all the heathen, round about.
That's right.
Round about. Now, go back to Psalm 79. We looked at this last week. This is probably the last one I'm going to give you. And then I'll make the point and I'll let you go. Psalm 79. Look at verse 12. and render unto our, what's the next word? Neighbors. Render unto our neighbors. Let me ask you, is America a neighbor of Israel? Is England a neighbor of Israel? How about Italy? Nope. But Syria is. Lebanon is. Egypt is. Saudi Arabia is. Turkey is. All right, now look carefully at that verse. Look back at it. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord. Now, very clearly, God says here that the neighbors of Israel are going to be judged. One more. Go to Jeremiah. I'm sorry, one more. Then I will move on, I promise. Jeremiah chapter 12. And look at verse 14. Jeremiah 12 and verse 14. Thus saith the Lord against, next word please, all. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Folks, the neighbors of Israel, without exception, are all Muslim nations. Every one of them. There is no exception to the matter. Okay, one more. Ezekiel 28. Hurry. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 25 and 26. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about. God is telling us in all of these verses, folks, that when Jesus comes back, it is all of these nations that are going to be gathered. All of those nations. You say, but Pastor, that's contrary to everything that I've been taught in my Christian life. Pastor, that's contrary to what you've said in the past. Yes, I know that, but everybody can learn something, don't you think? I think what really our problem is, we fail to remember the actual context of the Bible. You say, but Pastor, where's Europe? Where's America? Well, plainly put, nowhere. I don't know how else to tell you that. Now, I know that that offends you because you're an American and you want to be in the Bible somewhere, but you're not there. Where are you? I'll tell you where you are. Here's where you are. Let me read it for you. If I start quoting it, I'll mess it up. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. That's where you are. Where are you in Scripture? Right there, Revelation 4, 1 and 2. That's where you are. You say, well, Pastor, what if the Lord tarries and I die? Where am I there? Here's where you are. For we know that to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. You say, but Pastor, where's America? They're plainly put, nowhere, folks. Now, let me just give you something to think about and I'll close. Remember that the Battle of Armageddon takes place at least 7 years from tonight. Right now, it is 720. So the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place at least 7 years from 720 tonight. Everybody understand that? In other words, rapture could happen at 721. And if it happens at 721, then 7 years from 721, we'll have the Battle of Armageddon. Now, a lot can happen in 7 years. And a lot can happen, especially when you read what Paul said about how the church is gone and the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is gone, and you got that bunch down in Washington, D.C. running the show without us and without the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Bible's gone. You can bank on it. 5 minutes after we're gone, the Bible's going to be gone. They don't want the Bible around. I mean, a lot can happen in 7 years. And when the church is gone and restraining power of the Holy Spirit is gone, I assure you, all Hades is going to break loose across this world. You just look at what all has happened just in the last year and a half. Our nation has been taken over by a bunch of radical socialist ideologues. Our capitalist system has collapsed into a socialist system, and there is going to be such a terrible price to pay for this. It's hard to say what's going to happen over the next few years, even if Jesus doesn't come back. So imagine what if he does come back is going to happen on this planet. Not to mention, should the rapture happen and all of us be removed, we read in the Bible that the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to rise to power. And don't forget, his power is the power to persuade. And for 3.5 years, once the judgments are unleashed, there is going to be a worldwide meltdown economically across the planet, Revelation 6. And it could just well be that there is no United States in the Bible, because once all this happens and the rapture takes place, there may not be a United States by the time you get over here to the 7 years of through the tribulation and the Lord returns. I mean, there may not be. I mean, don't forget, we're gone. What's to hold back the devil once we're gone? So there could very well not even be a United States of America. It might be the United States of Islam for all we know. I have no doubt but what this radical bunch of anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-capitalism, anti-free market, anti-American nuts that are running our country today into the ground, I have no doubt but what they would sidle up to the Antichrist and do whatever he wants them to do. And don't forget, we're gone. I mean, all the right-wing stand in the way, ignorant Bible thumpers are going to be out of here. And then him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness will rise to the forefront with all the answers, and God will see to it that the men of this planet, the people on this planet, will be sent strong delusion that they should believe the lie. I mean, think about it, folks. Tonight, right now, should Iran and all the rest of Israel's neighbors launch an attack upon Israel, what do you think this administration would do about that? Be honest about it. What do you think? Selah, think about it. Now turn over to Revelation chapter 7 and I'll quit. My goodness, I'm not done. There is so much in this Bible. Look at Revelation 7. Let me just show you one little quick thing here. Now remember, in 4, the rapture takes place. In 6, the tribulation begins. You've got the seal judgments. The seals are loosed and the judgments begin. Worldwide economic collapse. Death. Starvation. Plague. It's going to be a terrible time. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. During the tribulation period, and this is running congruently through the 7 years, he said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb." God says that during the tribulation period, there is going to be a great number of people saved. You say, well, wait a minute, we're gone. How are they going to get saved? You look back earlier in chapter 7 and you'll see that God is going to send 144,000 evangelists to preach across the world. The Antichrist will have no power over these sealed Jews. And they're going to preach. Do you realize of the 6 billion people on the planet, it is estimated that over 5 billion of them have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. So when the rapture takes place and we're out of here, we're gone. Here are billions of people on this planet that Jesus died for, that we did not reach for various and sundry reasons. Sometimes it was because of false religion. We couldn't get in because of false religion. Sometimes it was language barriers brought about by sin at the Tower of Babel. Sometimes it was a distance. You know, back before there were boats to go across the seas, we never had any chance of reaching people in foreign lands. The gospel stayed in its own community. So there are various reasons, but wait a minute, Jesus died for these people, did he not? And John said that the number is going to be so great that no man could number. Through the preaching of the 144,000, through the preaching of the 2 witnesses, men who have never heard the gospel will be given a divine opportunity to hear the gospel, and multitudes will believe it and be saved. Now, we also read in this Bible that once they believe, they will be martyred for not submitting to the Antichrist. In another portion here, John said the souls of these were, well, just turn to it real quick. Chapter 20. And I saw, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Watch. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Who beheads today? Does Europe behead people? Does Rome behead people? No, no, no. There's only one culture, one people, one religion that beheads, and that's Islam. And all these people that are going to get saved during the tribulation period, when they get saved, the death sentence is passed upon them. And you will either submit to Allah or you'll have your head cut off. And I've read that verse for 40 years now, and I didn't get it. I get it now. I get it. The nations round about. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.